Turn with me to Proverbs 3. I'll look at one verse and try and deal with what I'm dealing with tonight. I'm so certain about this subject matter, and it's certainly different than average, but I'm sort of different than average, I guess. But talking about what we're calling, what's called nowadays gaslighting, talking about trying to manipulate someone to do what we desire or to convince them that their thinking is wrong or to be in control or whatever. And I want to take just a little step tonight. But my heart's on this verse, verse 27. Listen to what it says. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thy hand to do it. I want to read it again. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in thy power of thine hand to do it. Now, if I took that verse like it's meant, that means that I am to dedicate, surrender, yield, sacrifice myself and what I have at my disposal to help someone else. That is a biblical fact. But that can be abused, that it ends up hurting me. And we're trying to do more than what God desires. I have looked at several times with the Pharisees and their rules that they made. And the problem was, I mean, listen, good rules. Their rules were, don't do bad. Don't do what's wrong. And that sounds good. But if we're trying to do more than what God says, then it becomes bad, especially when we think our good is that's pleasing God. I have looked at, there is a definition involved with this gaslighting. And also there's a damage involved. There's a danger involved. There's a difficulty involved. I want to deal with this thought. There's a dependency involved. There's a dependency involved. I have used, for the most part, two people. It might be friends, maybe co-workers, maybe family, maybe husband and wife, two people. And I have labeled one of them the villain, the one that's guilty. I have labeled the other the victim, the one that's innocent. Now we know any type of situation between people, you don't have anybody that's absolutely 100% totally innocent or absolutely positively 100% guilty. But in my explanation, that's what I'm trying to say. One is the innocent party, one is the guilty party. One is the villain, one is the victim. We're talking about a personality disorder. We're talking about an excessive selfishness, a person who needs admiration, lacks empathy or sympathy. They need to manipulate or use others, and they have trouble, severe trouble, accepting the blame for anything they do. And that's what we're dealing with. I'm talking tonight about a dependency involved. I will use the word tonight, the title server and served. The server is the one that does, gives, sacrifices. That's the person who serves. The other is the served, the one that gets the benefit, the one that is waited on, the one that gets by with, the one that served. In this subject tonight, both are guilty. I'll try and mention that, hopefully make some sense. The one that serves or the one that served, as I'm going to explain it tonight, both are doing wrong. Whether they're family members, co-workers, friends, or husband and wife, there's a romantic situation. I'm talking tonight pretty much about what we could call codependency. That word has changed in the last few years. I'll stick with what it used to mean especially. It means that someone, the server, is enabling the served to do wrong things. It will be maybe they enable them to continue a drug habit, something very severe. It may be that they continue to allow them to live in a state of immaturity and act childish. It may be that they enable them to live in a state of selfishness. All those things, and I could mention many more, are sinful behavior. So it is talking about the server enabling the served to do wrong. The way they treat that person enables them to do something that displeases God and is harmful. There's an imbalance in the relationship. One sacrifices. Did you notice the emphasis? One gets served. Did you notice the emphasis? Both are doing wrong, because those who are sacrificing have extended, have gone beyond what God expects in trying to, what they think, help somebody else. The one that sacrifices, sacrifices themselves to an extent that God doesn't even expect. And the one that is being served takes and receives to a sinful state. One is taking advantage of the other. Both are emotionally dependent upon the other. Here's the strange thing about it. The one that is serving and doing what they think is right, and perhaps even doing what they think to be the Lord's will, the one that is serving and sacrificing is really depending on that person they are serving to make them emotionally secure. They are expecting from that person the gratification, the thankfulness, the gratitude, the appreciation that will make them feel good about themselves. That shows an emotional flaw, because they are looking towards someone and how they respond to how they treat them to be fulfilled. And I want you to get this. No one on this earth should we rely on to fulfill us, no matter who. The only one that should fulfill us is God. The only one who should give us peace and contentment and satisfaction and peace in our mind and heart is the Lord. Nobody, no way. So there's a problem on both sides tonight, the server and the served. Some people may call these people pleasers, because that is their intent. They really are seeking approval and self-worth by how somebody responds to how they treat them. Their partner, their friend, the served, however they feel and however they react, determines whether the server is content, because they want to please people. And most of the time they will do anything to avoid conflict, anything to avoid an argument. Just get along. I said it before, go along to get along. That's a people pleaser. That's a server. That's a codependent. Someone who serves others for their own self-gratification. And they ignore their own needs and their own desires because their life is wrapped up in taking care of somebody. They're a people pleaser. Some call them enabler, and I mentioned that already. To treat them in such a way, to handle them in such a way that enables them to continue their wrong behavior. For instance, parents who keep bailing out that adult son who always keeps getting in trouble with the law. instead of letting him sit there a while and stew in that jail, they go and make it easy. They are enabling his sinful and wrong behavior. They are an enabler. That's what codependency is. They are making it easy for that person to do wrong. They would hardly ever say, no, I am not bailing you out. No, I'm not giving you more money. I'm not doing this for you. It's your job, your responsibility. They just can't seem to say those things. They are enablers. I'm talking about dependency. Now, that really sounds good. A parent who loves their children, a husband who loves his wife, a wife who loves her husband, a friend who cares for a friend. That sounds real good, but when it goes to the excessive place to where it's a sacrifice, it's beyond God's will. They have good intentions, but they're doing great damage. They're doing damage to themselves, and they're doing damage to the person they're trying to help. Now, that person needs to learn. The person who's serving, the server, can actually lose their identity. They don't even know who they are because their life is wrapped up in taking care of that person. And what they want, that's what they got to do. And what they need to hear, that's what they need to say. They are absolutely destroying their own self. Their life is so involved with the other person. So the served is selfish in that they're receiving. And the server is selfish in that they're wanting appreciation from the person they're trying to take care of. And if both ever get used to it, they're in trouble. If the served ever gets used to that treatment, you're going to have a hard time breaking them from it. If you have tried that, or you know somebody who has, and I'm thinking about somebody right now, you couldn't guess them if you tried to. But they have enabled someone in their family so many times that when they try to say no now, it is like World War III. You know why? Because the served has gotten used to being served, and they have become selfish. An enabler. The served and the server, both are selfish because they're wanting to fulfill themselves. A server, an enabler, will try to offer excuse for the bad behavior of the person they're trying to serve. I've heard this before. Oh, Bill's just had a bad day. Bill's got a headache today. Now, he may have just shot somebody in the head, but Bill had a bad day, so let's just understand Bill. And that is damaging Bill. Some call him a controller. I'm talking about codependency, how one feels like they must take care of someone else to a detriment, to an excessive place where God never intended, to where it hurts both the server and the served. A controller, this kind of person feels like they just got to fix people. And in the process, they become controlling. They try to manage. I think about a mother who says to her son, "You really ought to find a girlfriend." Or he finds a girlfriend. She says, "I'm not sure about this girl. I'm telling you, you deserve better." And they try to control and manipulate. One is an overbearing, perhaps in this case, my illustration I just gave, an overbearing parent who tries to force and manipulate and make what they think is best for that person to happen. They are a controller. And in the process, neither is happy. And then there's this word, martyr. I'm talking about codependency. One serves to such an extent that it goes beyond what God says. Now, remember the verse when I read? It said, in essence, take care of those when you can. But that's not saying what I'm saying tonight. A martyr, constantly trying to take care of someone else to their own harm. I know of people who absolutely have exhausted themselves to where their health was broken because they took care of somebody who could take care of themselves if they would have just let them. And would do things for them that was absolutely ridiculous. when the person could do it, but oh, the server had to take care of the served. And they thought it was a godly act. They thought they were doing right. They were a martyr that God never intended. As I said, we're supposed to serve. The verse said, withhold not good from them who is due, when it is in thy power, thine hand to do it. But it never does indicate that we're to be slaves, especially to our hurt and harm. It never says we're to so take care of somebody and so serve them that it's easy for them to be lazy, easy for them to get selfish, easy for them to do wrong. That goes too far. And so I get to my points this evening. Number one, talking about codependency. One, taking care of another to an excess. Number one, it isn't smart. There's another word for that. There's dumb. It isn't smart to go overboard in taking care of someone or controlling someone or being in charge of someone is not smart. Number one, it isn't smart because it isn't helping them. It isn't helping the person you're trying to serve. That young adult man that's been in jail 5 times for the same reason, when his parents rush to the jail and bail him out again, that ain't helping him. That's ruining him. I watched Judge Judy the other day, and there was 2 teenage girls. I'm telling you, I wanted to slap them both. They had stolen, and their mama was excusing them because the one they stole from had stolen from them. And Judge Judy said, just like what I've said a million times to my children, it ain't never right to do wrong. If they do wrong, that don't give you the right to do wrong. And that's what I'm saying. Remember the prodigal's father? He let his son go, knowing what was going to happen, knowing he was going to hurt and harm himself, but he let him go. And trying to take care of somebody to such an extent or control somebody's life, even to what we think is good to an extent, to where we become hurt and harmed ourselves, is not smart. Number one, like I said, it isn't helping them. Buying the car for the lazy son, buying clothes for the lazy daughter, never addressing the issues, isn't helping them, it's making matters worse. Excusing their behavior doesn't help them, it makes them worse. It isn't smart, number one, because it's not helping them, the served, but it isn't smart, number two, because it's abusing and hurting the server. I said already, I can think right now of somebody who wore themselves out taking care of somebody who could take care of themselves. And even tonight, they are still physically, mentally, emotionally exhausted and drained because, for the most part, that's what they did. It isn't smart because it's abusing the server. Everybody needs time to take care of themselves, to enjoy some time alone, enjoy some time for themselves, to do what it takes for them to get peace of mind, to treat themselves good, to give themselves some space. So to continually sacrifice for someone else is not helping them and it's harming you or the person who's doing it. It is setting both up for shipwreck because eventually the served is not going to appreciate it. And almost think you owe it to them because they've gotten used to it. And they will resent the person who is serving them if they don't do everything the way they want it, every time they want it, because they've gotten used to it. So it isn't smart. It even causes resentment. So the person who's serving hurts themselves, and the person who served gets more selfish. It isn't smart. It isn't smart. I want to mention number two. It isn't serving. At first glance, somebody who takes care of someone else is there for them when they need them, tries to understand them, tries to be kind to them, tries to go a little overboard to help them. That sounds like love, but it isn't. It isn't serving. It's selfishness. Because again, in what I'm talking about, this person tries to take care of that person to where when that person really appreciates it, it'll make them feel good about themselves. That is selfishness. That's what I'm talking about tonight. Both parties are hurt in the process. The one that's trying to help and assist ends up being a slave themselves. It isn't smart. Number two, it isn't serving. Number three, it isn't spiritual. It is not being spiritual to be what I'm talking about tonight, to become a slave to serving or pleasing or helping anyone, not to become a slave. It is literally putting yourself in the place of God. Because that person who is getting served, they may have some issues and they may have some problems. They may have needs that need some assistance, and that's fine. But this excessive taking control, pouring out, sacrificing, making sure they're so taken care of that they don't do anything for themselves, neither accountable for their bad behavior, makes it easy to keep on doing it, that is not spiritual, because they are now depending on the server, where they should be depending on who? God. It is not spiritual. It is training them to depend on the person who serves and be fulfilled in how they're taken care of instead of going to God and getting help from Him. That's not only not wise, it's sinful to do that to a person, to cause that to happen. It's a sin to neglect and to abuse somebody else. I want to say that again because I'm getting ready to say something else. It is a sin to neglect completely or to abuse someone else. Is that true? That's true. And if it is sin for us to completely neglect or to abuse someone else, guess what? It's also sin for us to completely neglect or abuse ourselves. When a person is so concerned about others, no matter who it is, that they sacrifice themselves excessively beyond what God expects, that person is hurting themselves and God isn't pleased with that. Now, I am not talking about someone like I know people right now that's having to take care of bedfast people and they get exhausted, it wears them out, and they're doing it in the right place. I'm not talking about that at all. I'm talking about excessive, and I hope you understand that. It is not wise. It is not spiritual. I go further. It's even sinful. Because listen to me. That server is trying to carry a load that they can't carry. They're trying to fulfill somebody. They're trying to make them happy. They're trying to make them content. They're trying to satisfy every whim of them. They are trying to be God in that person's life. And that's not pleasing to the Lord. They're trying to carry a load that they cannot carry. Listen, trying to carry a load that God never intended, and that doesn't end well. Trying to carry a load they're not capable of carrying. So it's putting more on them than they can handle and more on them than God expects. And the problem is, in all that serving and all that doing and all that sacrificing, the person who's getting the benefit, the served, it's probably not getting any better, probably getting worse. So it's not spiritual. Here's what the Bible says, one of many verses I can read, but I'll read this one, Galatians 6:5. For every man shall bear his own burden. Now I can read verses that say we are to bear one another's burdens. The verse I opened up with was in essence saying we are to bear others' burdens, but to a limit. Not to where they depend on us so much that they expect from us what they can only get from God or expect from God. So Galatians 6:5 says, let every man bear his own burden. The idea there is a pouch. We have backpacks nowadays. Little Lainey walked out today with her backpack on. That was her burden. She was carrying it. And that's what this verse is talking about. Here's what he's saying. Every person breathing God's air has a responsibility to do certain things in this world, in life. And they are responsible to do it. They cannot ask anybody else to do it. They should not expect anybody else to do it. They shouldn't let somebody else do it, because if they do, that's wrong, because it's their burden. That's what he's saying. Every person, including that served person, God expects every one of us to get to the point where we say, that is my responsibility. I am doing that. It would be wrong for me not to do that. Right behavior is my responsibility, and there's no excuse for me not doing right. And that's what God's trying to teach us. It isn't spiritual to sacrifice ourselves to the detriment of our own selves when other people can do what we're doing for them. And the problem is, why it isn't spiritual, that served person, as long as they're being served, will never learn to trust God. Never learn that it's up to God. Never get to the point to where they realize their helplessness and their need of God, and maybe even dealing with salvation. So it's very serious. We need to let them learn. We need to let them hurt. We need to let them go without, just like the prodigal did the son. And you know what? There's no telling what God might do when the server finally says, I've been causing more problems than good. I'm not helping them. If I don't do it just the way they expect it now, they get mad. And if I do everything I can, they're still not happy. It's still not enough. And if that person would learn, I think I'm going to let go and give them to God, you know what? There's no telling what God might do. But as long as they keep on, as long as they keep trying, that person has no reason to go to God. It isn't spiritual. The best thing to do, and I'm just barely opening up the door, we'll mention this more later day, is back off and let God take care of it. Give God the time and the chance to work. And you know what he might do? He may just work on the served, and he may just work on the server, because both need to hear from God. Both need to make changes. And that means both now are trusting God. You know what that's called? Obedience. Trust and obey. By the way, I'll close with this. Both all are accountable to God. But we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That's, of course, talking about believers. So that person who's being served, that's getting by with a whole lot they shouldn't get by right now, when they stand before the Lord, they won't get by. And that person who's serving and doing things they should not do, doing more than what they are required, more than what God expects, which means they're displeasing God, they'll stand before God and give an account to that. So, hope it makes some sense. I want to say this, I'll say it again before I get through. I may be speaking to nobody that this literally applies to, but I am speaking to people, and I'm hearing me, that these type of attributes that I've talked about tonight are at least partially a part of our lives. And that's really what I think the Lord wants us to see. You may not be abundantly selfish, But there's some selfishness in you, and the Lord's concerned about that, and He wants to fix us. Let's pray. Father.